Good evening.
Did he turn down? Yes.
Yep. Like I said, I want to wish everybody a good afternoon, a good evening. Glad we're all here to study another portion of God's Word, the Lord's Word, and sing songs and have fellowship here. And we'll sing three songs, and then after we sing the three songs, I'm going to ask Brother Odell to lead our minds in prayer after three songs. Our first song tonight will be number 244. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Number 244.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not a breath of new can stand.
Next song will be number 53. Number 53. And the name of this song is At Calvary. Number 53, At Calvary.
Years of spending heavy and pride. Calvary.
If you would, please mark number 67 in your song book. This will be the song of encouragement, the invitation song after our class is done, when we offer the invitation. Number 67, bring Christ your broken life. And then if you would turn back to number 55, the name of this song is Beyond This Land of Parting. Number 55, that will be the song that we sing next, and then Brother Odell will lead our minds in prayer, and then we'll have our classes.
Five, a song, and then go to our classes.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses, far getting this, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, life's a summer land of bliss.
Land beyond,
so fair and bright.
This time, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for one more day you have blessed us with. Lord, we know there's many that you done called this day that didn't get to enjoy this day. But Lord, you allowed us to get up, go out and do the things that we desire to do. And Lord, thank you for blessing us to remember to stop our day, to just come and hear your word, something that may strengthen us and help us to grow stronger in the future than we have been in the past. But dear Lord, this new school year started. We do hope and praying that the schools will be safe, our children will be protected, and Lord, we can stop the loss of young lives. But Heavenly Father, we know as we live in this country, you want us to pray for our leaders. We do hope and praying that they will continue to light us to have this freedom to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Because we know in some countries they cannot do that. So, Lord, we're asking that you may be with our leaders. And Heavenly Father, we do have some that's still on our prayer list. Lord, we're just praying that they will be able to come off of that. But, Lord, it's according to your will. But, Heavenly Father, do again, we want to thank you for those that have come off, that are doing well. We hope and praying that they'll continue to come and always worship you. But, Heavenly Father, as we continue to go through this life, sometimes we do fall short. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, most of all, your forgiveness. So help us, Lord, to be like you, that we can forgive one another. Sometimes family members, Lord, we hold grudges too long. So you're asking you that you be with us and help us just to let go and forgive one another. So Heavenly Father, as we do go through this evening, we're asking that you be with the teachers, that he proclaim your word in his boldness and in his meekness, that it may help us to grow there by and by. So again, Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you for all your love you showed us all. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Let the church say, amen.
Amen.
study sheet was passed out tonight. Did anyone not get one?
Neither, not there.
Everyone got one? Father Mark, it's good to see you guys back again. Feeling better? Good. Okay. Actually, what we're doing in Romans chapter 3 tonight, the sheet that you have, is one verse before it that we're going to start with, and that's verse 9. And so if you have your sheets from last week, then you have that. Otherwise, you can turn your open your Bibles, of course. And I'm going to start by reading verse 9. It says, verse 9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." In the first chapters that we've been looking at, a lot of what we've been looking at is that Paul has been laying out to the people what sin is. Sin that the Jews were making and sins that the Gentiles were making. And I think that one of the things that we have to understand is that as we look at the verses that we're going to look at first tonight, is that sin is the problem. That's why Jesus came, is because sin was the problem. And I may have told you this before, but it always struck me so strong that my son Ben was a missionary in Japan for 6 years. And one of the things that they had to teach first, help people to come to understand what the word sin, the Japanese language does not have a word for sin. And so one of the things that they had to do to, as they began to teach people, was to help them to see what sin was. Now they have an idea of what's good and bad, but they didn't call it sin. Of course, a lot of that is done to their Buddhist worship and other worshipers of ancestors and things like that that they do in Japan. But anyway, I think that as Christians, as people coming to Christ, even as Christians, we need to recognize that the real problem between us and God is sin. And so that's what Paul, I think, is doing for us here, too. So the thing is that we're no better than anyone else. And I think that's important for us to understand. Any comments here, first of all, on verse 9, before we go on to our study sheet of chapter 3 and verse 10? Okay? Let's look at starting in chapter 3 and verse 10. And I'm going to read, let's read down through verse 17, and then we'll go back and talk about this. As it is written, now, this passage, by the way, comes from Psalms 14, 1 through 3, and 53, 1 through 4, is where these quotes come from. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, when you think about that, who's Paul talking? Who's Paul? Remember who this letter is written to? Who's this letter written to? The church in Rome. And so he is reminding them that about sin, and that there's not a person that grows up and lives that has not faced sin. How many sins does it take to be lost? One sin. How do we know that? What happened to Adam and Eve? How many sins did they commit?
First sin they committed, they were cast out of the garden.
That's right. First sin, they were cast out of the garden. Just a sin of God said there's only one thing you can't eat of, right? It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they did, and they were, that they were dispelled, and they brought death, spiritual, physical, and spiritual death into the world. So So he says there's none, there's no righteous, not even one person. Everybody has turned aside. So we have to understand that that means that if we have all turned aside, right? If we've all sinned, we all need a way back to God. I think when we're talking to people sometimes about sin, we need to help them to realize and understand that, hey, look, I've been there. I struggle with sin. I fight against sin. It's only through the grace of God and Jesus Christ's blood shed on the cross for us that we can have forgiveness. Of course, he lists several different things here about sin. And verse 17, I think, is important. And the way of peace they have not known. The kind of peace that he's talking about is forgiveness. The way of people that he's talking about is not having to face, not having to face death because of our sins. If you don't know peace, if you haven't had your sins forgiven, you can't know true peace. And that's what he's talking about to us here tonight, as he's talking about this.
He starts out, you know, in verse 11, and then goes on down. He's showing you what life without God looks like, right?
Oh, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
You know, and then we're not there yet, but in verse 21, he says, but.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. He's going to get to the good stuff here in a little bit.
You know, it's probably the biggest turn in the whole book. You know?
It is.
But.
I mean, much of what he's been talking about up to this point has sinned, but now he's going to show them the way through Jesus Christ. And we'll get to the good news in a bit. But that's right. You know, that's what life is like without Jesus. Okay, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Who would that be? Who was under the law?
Jews.
Anybody else under the law?
Proselytes, I suppose.
What?
I said proselytes, I suppose.
Well, yeah, proselytes, okay. But the law was given to the Jews, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And for the Jews. And we have to understand that today, and it's important for us to understand this, and we'll talk about it as we continue to go on, that we are not under the Old Testament law. We're not under that old law. The Jews are not under that old law anymore because of Christ. But they were. They had been under the law. Jesus lived and died under the law. Right? And he lived a perfect life. The only one that ever lived a perfect life under the law was Jesus Christ. I kind of paused in the middle of that scripture, that verse. That every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. Paul will talk about in Romans 7 that the reason for the law was to point out sin. He comes back to that and talks about it. We'll get to there, Lord willing, about that. He says, therefore, by verse 20, that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law was given to the people so that they would know what sin was, what their sin was, to identify it, so that they would turn back to God, so that they would offer their sacrifices, so that they would strive to follow the words of the law. But the reason for the law was to point out sin. There, it says, you know, by the deeds of the law, though, you cannot be justified. That's what it says. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. And we've talked about this word justified. I'm going to talk about it Sunday night more. But justified means to be made without sin. And there is no way that they can do that under the law, to be completely made to be without sin. Okay, any comments? Other comments down through verse 20? All right. God's righteousness through faith. And these headings come from the New King James Version Bible. They have these headings, and that this is the heading that was there that I used, so I used it too. It sounds good. But now, verse 21, now the righteousness of God, there's your but, James. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God has been shown. It's also this righteousness of God that has been revealed is also called the mystery that the Jews did not have, the mystery that was to come. But now it's revealed. It's been made known. And it was made known to them through the law and the prophets. How was this mystery of Jesus revealed or made known to them through the law and the prophets? That's a question. I'm waiting for an answer. Help me.
What was the question again?
How was Jesus, the righteousness of God, made known to the people through the law and the prophets? What, James?
He gave the inspired word of evidence to the ones that wrote the books.
Yeah, I would say through prophecy, right? Would that be one for sure? Prophecy would definitely be the prophets. He talks about the prophets. The law, we're told that the old law was a tutor to lead us to Christ. And so the law and the prophets were designed to point the way to Jesus Christ. Depends on who you're following and how you read it, but between 300 and 600 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus and about him. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So the righteousness of God comes through faith. Now, there's some terms, and we're going to get to some of these terms as we go along here. But it's some other study I've been doing this week. And you know these things, but it's important. The New Testament talks a lot about the law, the works of law. That we're not under the works of law, but we're under the law of faith. So there's two laws that is dealt with in the Bible. The works of the law, the law works, and then the way of faith, the law of faith. I think we need to understand that a lot of times when it's talking about, like he makes a statement here about faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, yes, but through the new way of faith he's talking about here. And the old works of law is two distinct things here. Sometimes people in our world today get confused about this idea of works. They say, no, we're not saved by works. Well, we're not saved by works of the law. We're saved by the law of faith. There's still a law. I mean, you read over and over again, even you get as far as Revelations, chapter 14 that we looked at on Sunday, that it talks about that we have the law, we are saved by the commandments and faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we obey his commandments and have faith in Jesus Christ. And we know it's not just what people today would want to say, see, just faith, that's all we need. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. It's the new way, it's a way of faith, the way of works of old law. Now, we are to do works as Christians, right? Yes, Jamie? Oh, I thought you were going to say something. No?
Well, I mean, I've got a comment, but I didn't raise my hand.
Go ahead. I'm fine. I'm waiting for it. Pause.
Well, it's not what we did to be saved, right? It's what he did.
That's
he
right. Yeah, for out. Sure.
We didn't do anything. He did it for us.
Right.
And I get real conflicted on that sometimes because, you know, you read on about all the things he tells us to do as Christians, but yet verses like this, you know, you don't work your way to heaven. He made that path for us.
He did. He made the path for us. We have that way to come to him by faith and obedience and surrender. It's through his grace that we are saved. That's how we get rid of our sin, right? That's what we're saved out of sin and into salvation, relationship with God. But we are called also to do the work, like you said, the works of God. And if we're not, the Bible's pretty clear about judgment that if we're not obeying his commandments and doing the things that God asks us to do and be a part of, that heaven won't be apart for us.
I don't think that's a commandment. I don't think works is a commandment. I think works is done because as Christians, it's something we should want to do.
And if we don't want to do it, we don't do it, what then? Are we going against God?
Yes.
I understand what you're saying, and I am in agreement. It's through grace, by grace we've been saved through faith.
Some people are going to do more work than others, right?
What's that?
I said some people naturally going to do more work than others.
Right.
So, am I more righteous than the ones that aren't doing as much work as me?
I think we're measured by our own capabilities, right? I mean, if we're not measured by ourselves relative to anyone else, right? I might not measure up to most people in the room, but if I'm doing all I'm capable of doing, God knows that, right? You know, James' text is pretty plain about, you know.
You have a scripture you'd like to share?
I thought you had
one, your Bible there.
No, give me a second.
I know what you're talking about.
He talks about, you know.
Faith without works is dead.
Yes. In chapter 2 of James, verse 18, he says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. The writer says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Works, our works, the things that we do is a obedience and expression of our faith, our belief in God.
I think if we don't make works a priority in our lives, then that's an indictment of our faith.
I think about Matthew 25, where Jesus lists all the things that he did, and he asked the people that were not. He says, "But you're not going to go to heaven because of it." He says, "Why? Because you didn't do these things to others. When you do these things, you do them to me. And the ones that did them," he said, "because you did these things to others, you did them to me, and you'll go to heaven." And so there's a balance there. Once we become a child of God, that it's a matter of desiring, wanting to follow through with our commitment to God to do these things because why? Because Jesus said this is what we should do. This is how we should live. If we're not walking in the light, if we say we're walking in the light and we're not, the Bible says we lie and the truth is not in us. So I think there's a balance there. That we have to understand and we have to catch.
I'm just saying it's not a commandment. We should do it because we're Christians and we want to do it. Like we should want to be out there doing this work is what I'm getting at.
I agree.
Saying you can't just sit back and not do anything and still be, that's not where I'm going with that.
So, but let me add that to the question then though. But if we don't do those things, we know to do them and we don't do that, is that sin?
I believe so.
Okay. James?
Go along with that. I mean, it tells us in Matthew, I mean, James Miller quoted James chapter 2, verses 14 and following.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, in Matthew 28, he tells us to go out and make disciples. Is that not a work?
That's a command for sure.
Well, you have to work at it, is what my point is.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it is a total work, but it is an action. Therefore, an action could be a work. And for all of us to make disciples and teach, I mean, people, everybody in here can invite somebody. That's part of bringing them in here to teach. So that's part of what that is. Because it says, go through and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, but teaching them to observe all things. Now, we've already talked several times about everybody can't be teachers. Everybody cannot be doing this. And James mentioned that you can't do this or this because of your ability. Everybody, this is just my opinion, can't invite somebody and let the work here, whether it's in class like tonight or you in the pulpit or classes downstairs, do the teaching, making disciples. Now, when you have invited someone, you've done a work for the Lord. Now, whether they accept it is a different story. Because if they don't accept it for you, the invitation, that's you done what you're supposed to do.
You know, Paul talks about in Galatians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God brings the increase. And we have our part and our role to play in what God has called us to do and to be. And I think we have to watch out for is that dividing, you know, someone says, well, do I need to do this to be saved? Someone used instrumental music about that. If I use an instrument, can I still be saved? That's not a salvation issue, some people say. You see what I'm saying? What God says, when God tells us to do something, that if we do it, then we're pleasing to Him. If we don't do it, we're not pleasing to Him. And I'm glad God is going to be the judge, and I'm not.
That's exactly right. As long as we're doing what we're told to do, we are doing the work of the Lord.
Yes.
So I'm like looking at like the parable of the talents.
Okay.
Where the master leaves three of the servants, a different amounts of money. Two of the servants made an investment, which is we need to make an investment. The third one didn't even hid the money.
Right.
He didn't do anything with his talents or abilities. He didn't go to heaven. He didn't get a reward.
No. There's sometimes, and I'm not saying this as a doctor, so I feel that sometimes as we read the Bible that they'll be greatly rewarded. It talks about those that will be greatly rewarded in heaven. Some people want to say there's levels of punishment and there's levels of rewards. I mean, I think we don't need to worry about that because God is going to bring about, He's going to bless us His way and what He wants to bless us with, right? In the way of heaven. I go back to those mansions on a hilltop that we sing about. You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a mansion for you. I had my ex-mother-in-law, before she passed, would talk about that. I don't like that song because, you know, are we living for the golden streets or are we living to be right with God, she would say. You know, I think as we look at this, as we continue on tonight, we're looking at what He's saying to us. He's telling us that He came to justify us. He came to free us from sin. He came so that we could be right with Him. And if we do what He's called us to do, heaven is waiting for us. I have no doubt about that. But we have to walk in the light. We have to walk that path every day. And that includes doing what we can for the Lord, and can we get better every day? Probably we can work on that, right? And work towards that. I think good comments, a good conversation, folks. I want you to know that I'm, as we make some of these thoughts, I hope that my thoughts are based upon what I've read and studied in the Word, but sometimes we can always learn from that more. We can always grow in that more. Let's pick it up at 22. I read part of 22. It's read on down through. Let's read down through the end of the page from verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many times have you heard verse 23? How many times have I used verse 23? You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's really a very good summary of what he's talked about in the verses preceding it. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. So, in verse 22, of course, it says, through faith in Christ, he says, we all recognize we need Jesus Christ, because without his forgiving us of our sins, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because we're human, because we've disobeyed, because we've sinned, basically. And verse 24 doesn't say but here, but, you know, being justified, being made right with God, right? Freely, there's that free gift of God that Jamie was talking about. We have that free gift of God by his grace. Grace is all that God does for us through Jesus Christ that we cannot do ourselves. That's grace. Freely by his grace, through the redemption, redeeming us, buying us back, freeing us from sin, that is in Christ Jesus. I think there's a little bitty word there that is so important. That's the word in. Because he says, we have all of this if we are in Christ Jesus. You know, and I think as you're looking at this verse, you're looking at passages that talk about this, it's so important. Well, how do we get in or into Christ Jesus? And that's a good place to study with people about too, by the way, is to help them to say, well, it's not a matter of how we have faith, but how do we get into Christ Jesus? Okay, of course, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, I believe, it says that we're baptized into Christ. We're buried with him in baptism, Romans 6. So this is how we get into Christ. But we have, once we are obedient to him, and by the way, people would say baptism is a work. No, it's an act of faith. Just as repentance is an act of faith. It's turning, our faith causes us to see what we need and turn back to God. Confession is an act of faith. All of these are, we have to respond to God. It's our response to God. Doing what he's called us to do and called us to be. Whom God has set forth as a propitiation. Propitiation by his blood. It means by a way of cleansing us from our sins by his blood. I think that the understanding that we cannot shortchange this idea of the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the blood of Christ washing us from our sins, and it comes through faith. We, again, it's that response to him, our faith response to him. Any comments before we go on from here?
Now, some people say you don't have to be baptized, but ain't that a commandment that you be baptized in Matthew 10:32-33?
Well, Matthew, yes, definitely baptism is a command. Jesus says, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that is that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It is a command.
But some people saying you don't have to be.
Well, I know they do, yeah. One of the things I'm talking about, and as we get to the end of, more into the end of the chapter here, he talks about the law of faith. And I think that we need to understand that we think of law as like the Old Testament law. But it's different. It's a different way of looking at things, thinking of things that they did in the Old Testament. And people, because they don't understand the idea of the law of faith, they say that when the Bible talks about faith, shall, you know, to be saved through faith, it's like being saved through grace. Well, yes, we are saved by the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God by responding, just as he talks about here, justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have to accept that redemption. We have to obey that redemption that he has given to us to do. Yes, it's faith. There's the faith that we come to him so that we can be justified, so that we can obey him. Faith always, in the Bible, when you look at faith in the New Testament, particularly, always includes obedience. And what about Abraham, you know, taking Isaac up to be sacrificed? What if Abraham said, sure, I'll go, and we'll do that, but he says, I'm not taking Isaac with me. I'll go offer a sacrifice for you. What if Noah had built the ark out of some other kind of wood? What if? You know what I mean? Every time that when the Bible says these people had faith, it's how they responded to God by their faith, their obedience to God by faith.
Well, the Bible doesn't entertain as Christians, if you look
Bible doesn't entertain anybody as a Christian that is unbaptized.
That's true.
You know, so I mean, and they have an example of what in Acts, you know, brethren, what must we do? And then they went down to the river or the body of water, and they were and they baptized like a lot of people.
3,000.
And I thought maybe it's more than that because 3,000 and then their families too. So
could
I
have
don't
been.
Know, but you know the Bible doesn't entertain anybody putting on the cloak of being a Christian. That's
you know,
that.
We as Christian members of the Church of Christ clearly understand that.
Yeah, I know it's hard to convey that, but it's in the Bible. I mean, you know.
And that's why it's so important that when we're studying the Bible with people, that we just don't say, I believe baptism is necessary for salvation. It's important for people to read it themselves so that they can understand that and accept that. So it's the Bible teaching them this and not just my words.
You have to have faith.
Well, you have to have faith that you're going to believe the Bible and follow it to be true.
That's faith what the Bible's telling you.
That's right. Any other thoughts? Okay, turn the page. He's in the middle of a sentence, so I'm going to read 25 again and continue on to the next page. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So, Jesus died on the cross to shed his blood to show us, to demonstrate us, his righteousness. Jesus had to die on the cross for us to meet Jesus' righteousness, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because his forbearance, God had passed over the sins previously committed. Remember he says in Acts chapter 17, where he says, God, you know, quote it right, God overlooked people's sins. I'm not quoting it right, but commands all people everywhere now to repent. I don't understand all of that. Maybe he meant that, maybe it means a lot of different things. But here it says, but he died on the cross, verse 26, to demonstrate, he just said demonstrate his righteousness. Verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be considered right, to show that he is right. And what does it mean that he is just and the justifier? He might be just. If God is just, is he going to punish sin? And if he's the justifier, it means he's going to forgive sin. So some people are going to face God's justice. Other people are going to face God's justification because they've come to him. Turn to him by faith and obedience. He defines that, right? The justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Christy, you look like you have a question on your mind. No? Okay, sometimes I read expressions, and it's okay, I'll take away the expression, never mind. It's a good expression. There's so much here, folks. There's so much that is included here. Verse 27 is really the verse that I was talking about law. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. By the law of faith. We're not justified by the law of works, which is the Old Testament. We're not justified by the old law. We cannot be saved that way. No matter how good you were. Remember Paul said, I kept everything just right under the old law. But he said, I recognize that I needed to get rid of all of that so I could be right with God. Therefore, we conclude, verse 28, that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Don't let people take you back to the deeds of the law, because why? We're justified apart from that law. What did Jesus say about the law? That he came to do what?
Nothing can be in the world.
He's going to do away with it.
He did away with it, but what did he say? But he said he came to fulfill the law, right? He came to fulfill the law. Not, he lived under the law, but he fulfilled it by what he did in his life and by dying on the cross and establishing his new covenant, which he promised when he gave the Lord's Supper.
Doug?
Yes.
You know, I'm reminded of Micah chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, when we talk about works of the law.
Okay.
Great passage. In that passage, Micah writes, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" No, none of that. There's none of that that is any value to God.
That's right.
What he says next, "He showed you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?"
Yeah, I know what I was going to say earlier. The Ephesian church was kind of a model church early on, wasn't it? When you read the book of Ephesians, it's a great chapter. But in Revelations, what does it say that they lost? Their first love, right? So all their deeds meant nothing because they lost their first love, and they were commanded to repent and turn back to God, because they were doing all the good deeds, but they were doing it without love. Okay, let's real quick read through the rest of this chapter, and then we'll start in chapter 4 next week. We've got 2 or 3 minutes here. Okay, verse 29. "Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles?" Yes, of the Gentiles also. "Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." Or I would say, probably another word there would be, we fulfill the law. The law has been completed, right? We're not justified by the commandments of the old law, but we're justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, I hope that gives you something to think about, and I'm open to, if you want to talk about any of these things, I'd be glad to talk about them more. You know, when you're teaching and when you study these things, sometimes you get real convicted about how, you know, what it's saying. But I want you to know that there's always room for me to learn more, and I look forward, if you have any conversation about this, for us to do that. Okay, we'll wait for people to come upstairs, and then we'll have an invitation. By the way, while most people are still in here from class, do you like these study sheets? I don't have to pass them out to you but if you like them, I'll continue to do it this way. It's strictly the scriptures, and I just highlighted things that I find kind of stand out for me. But we don't have to do this. We can just, you can definitely, of course, just open your Bibles anytime and study it that way too. This helps me. Any thoughts? If you have any thoughts about it, please let me know, okay? I'd appreciate it. Hey, Don, while we're waiting, how is your mother-in-law doing?
She's home.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, and she's sore, and a lot of bruising.
From what? Where's the bruising coming from?
Catheterization.
What?
The catheterization.
Oh, uh-huh.
The clots cleaned up.
Yeah.
So she's dealing with that, having to heal. It's 6 to 8 weeks for that to heal.
How's her legs?
The circulation is back in her left foot, and they look good. The swelling's gone.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of swelling, but not like what she had.
Uh-huh.
It's just going to, she just needs some rest now, some time, and hopefully, you know, medications and things.
What can we do for them?
Pray. Just pray. Kathy and I are handling pretty much what they basic needs today.
Uh-huh.
So that's not what we can do.
Okay.
We just want to see if they get well.
Sure. Good lunch?
Not lunch.
Oh.
I'm having a piece of candy.
Uh-huh.
If you were in my class, you would have a good boy, you could have one too.
Oh, really? Maybe I should pass that candy. Ice cream, we scream, you scream for ice cream. What? Tonight in our class we've been talking about the justification that we have through Jesus Christ. And that is through the faith that we have in him. And we put our belief and our faith in him to trust in him. We recognize that, of course, everybody sins. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. But verse 24 is such a great verse. But just being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We cannot save ourselves.
Right.
But we can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. He has been so good to us that he has washed us by his blood and by his faith. God has shown his righteousness to us and invited us to be a part of it. So, you know, that's the invitation always, is that if you want to be a part of God's grace, know his forgiveness, know his life-giving life, his grace that he's given to us, won't you come to him now as together we stand and say.
Bring Christ to the broken life. So marked by sin, he will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years, he will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring him your every care, if great.
cathartic, that's what I'm looking for. Cathartic, to do that. And then what I did when I was done, and I hope you're doing the same thing, I took 3 pages of cards that I had sent, went back and prayed over each one of them. And I plan to start trying to do that every day. They need, we're saying we're praying for them. Let's be sure that we're praying.
I have a few announcements. Number one, Brother James McMillan, after the prayer, wants everybody to sit down. He has an announcement. Clayton's going to lead our minds in prayer after I get done with the announcements. Next in line, get your app papers to Brent with your information filled out if you want to be included in the information. To Brent, get your papers filled out and give them to him if you don't care. Let's remember turning the paper.
Bowling night.
Say what?
Bowling.
Yeah, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to. Let's remember Brooklyn's friend Morgan in our prayers. She has scoliosis. Kevin Shire, Jasmine DeMario's father-in-law, battling a stage 4 cancer. In a minute, when I'm done with the announcements, Don will re-announce. I asked him to give us an update on Dorothy. Let's remember Beth Bowen's cancer. Pearl Hyatt, Pearl with her leg circulation problems, and they're trying to get her back up to snuff again like they did last time. And let's remember Brother Mike Porter with his heart ailments, with his heart blockages, as I believe it said in the announcement sheet from last Lord's Day. His heart's only working like at 41%. So let's remember Brother Porter and his wife in our prayers also. And Dawn had some tests, so let's hope that Dawn has good results, or pray that Dawn has good results from his tests. Let's remember our shut-ins, Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, and Jack and Millie King. And let's remember Naoma and Roe and Dustin in our prayers. It's always good to see Naoma and Roe come, and it's always good to see Roe come, and he's always shakes my hand and says good morning, and it's nice to visit with him a little bit. And also, you get your bulletin, you can see the upcoming birthdays and anniversaries. On September 5th is bowling night. Brother McMillan said, I believe, if I'm telling this right, it costs $4.50 to rent a pair of shoes and $3.50 per game. He says, you don't have to bowl, but come and have fellowship and watch people bowl. He said, maybe some of the older ones may only be able to bowl one game. So, anyway.
That's what I was talking about, me.
Yeah, well, I was talking about me, too. But anyway, he said, you know, you don't have to bowl, but come and have fellowship. September 12th is Mount Vernon Church of Christ Golf Tournament. The 11th through the 13th is Mike McDaniel in the Anna Gospel Meeting in Anna. There's a lectureship on September 28th at Mounds. And our Gospel Meeting, October 4th through the 7th. Also on the 3rd, we're having the booth at Sasquatch Day. So there's a sign-up sheet for Sasquatch Day in the back. And on the 23rd through the 25th, Marion's having a gospel meeting again with Brother McDaniel. We had him here last year, and he's worth listening to. He talked about the minor prophets, I believe. Have I left anybody out? Is there any other announcements besides Dawn's mother-in-law and father-in-law?
I've got Team 2 will meet Sunday. That's my group. I'm going to be out of town for the 3-day weekend, so you will have your cards in there on Wednesday. And I have cards for those who have been out sick for a while out there. So please sign them on your way out so I can send them off tomorrow.
Okay, and then one last thing. It's good to see the cranes back up 100%. Oh, yes, ma'am, Sharon. Sharon's mom and uncle in the hospital need prayer. And Dawn's going to give us another update on Dorothy, because there are some people that weren't up here. And then we'll leave it to Clayton to dismiss us. And then remember that Brother McMillan wants to talk to everybody.
Okay, real quick. She is home. She is resting. She needs to rest right now. Believe it or not, laying in a hospital bed for 3, 4, 5 days is not rest. her in your prayers. She's tired. Phone calls would be greatly appreciated, I'm sure. So if you can all make a phone call, she keeps her phone next to her on the chair. So that would be great. Hopefully she'll get her strength back in the next few days, and as we move forward, things will be better. But the foot itself, that was the problem, is supposedly taken care of. No more clots, no more problems. So circulation is back. So make a few phone calls. Sure.
Is her number in our book?
Should be.
Okay.
If not, I will make sure that I send it out to everybody.
It's in there.
Is it in there?
Let us pray. This evening, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again just thanking you for thanking enough for you to come out and hear another part of your word. Lord, we're just praying, Lord, for all of those, Lord, that were mentioned on our prayer list. Lord, we just want to continue to pray for them. And most of all, Lord, we're praying that you'll stop by and touch them, heal them where they need healing. And again, Father, Lord, that they may be brought back to their most wanted hell. Again, Father, Lord, I want to remember all those events, Lord, that are coming up. Lord, we're just praying that we can be able to get to some of them. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those, Lord, that are just out traveling. Lord, we're just praying that you give them traveling grace, that you can bring them back home safely. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray and thank Brother Doug for the class that he's teaching. Lord, we're just praying that we'll get something out of it, that we may tell others what thy will is for us to do. Again, Father, most of all, I want to thank you for your son. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the Holy Spirit, that he might continue to constrain us and guide us in all truth. And as we dismiss from this place, Lord, we're just praying that you'll bring us back up on that next appointed time. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.